good morning. The house is packed today. It's very warm in here. It's starting to warm up outside. It's beautiful today. It is a beautiful day in the harbor today. Very full day. A day that has been set aside for many, many years. We call it Memorial Day. This is when we focus on those who have given every single thing they have. All of it. And they never made it home. Some of them never made it back. And one day, prayerfully, we'll see them in heaven and be able to thank them in person for what they've done. We memorialize them, thinking of everything they've given. We're grateful, and this is the week, this is the weekend where it's celebrated. We have our freedom. We can do church, and we have a lot of cool things on the horizon. God is moving. Amen? Yeah, He's moving. Avalon is feeling it, and the church is feeling that. And as a result, I know someone else that gave their life for that. I know someone else that gave up everything for that. And we're thankful for our Lord. We're thankful for Jesus. He set the tone. He set the tone. Man, what a beautiful day. Welcome to the 10:30 service. My name's Pastor Andrew. Glad that you're here. Many of you are visiting. Welcome to Catalina, this jewel out here in the Pacific Ocean. And it is one of those days where I sit back and I look at that video and I think in terms of spring cleaning. I got a wedding coming up this week and I'm like going through boxes and I'm looking for stuff. I've found a lot of weird stuff. In fact, when we moved back in the holiday, I was pulling stuff out and just chucking it. I had to do that. So this message kind of comes out of a lot of personal journal stuff. And it's also part four in this thing that we're calling, I can't fix this. I just give up. And I'm a guy. And I do not like to cede mastery over to hired hands, as we've heard in the past. I don't want to give that up. I want to try and fix this thing, but there's just some stuff I'm like, I can't fix this. I don't have the tools. I don't have what's necessary. We've had a great response from many, many people over the last few weeks. A ton of emails. I'm blessed to see these sticky notes. Many of you took time. I'm still going through them. Really great stuff that I read last week. And I think one of the reasons we've had such a great response is that everybody in here can identify with pain. All of us. Me included. We have this in common. All of us do. Many of us have different levels of it. We're different ages. Pain has different degrees, certainly, no doubt about it. Maybe you come from different states. Different families. Some are born literally here on this island and this culture has been all that you've known. Others are transplants in here and you bring other cultures to the island. Different types of financial situations are here. One of the things we all have in common, though, is we all experience pain. There's a couple that are here this morning and when they came to the island individually before they met together, get up here, you two. I got to know them individually. Kate, can you grab that microphone for me real quick? And we had a chance to watch them fall in love. Thank you. And watch them fall in love with their Savior and then ultimately fall in love with His calling in their life. And I went through some pain, and so did a lot of you that know these guys. Give it up for Amanda and Levi Kenyon this morning.
Hey.
They are back for a certain occasion going on this week, but also they're here on mission too, and they've been traveling. Guys, give us a synopsis of what you've been doing, what you're up to.
So we did a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. YWAM is a global organization. They have YWAM bases all over the world. Our discipleship training school was in Montana. So we had just under 3 months in Montana, and then we did 9 weeks in Nepal. And our discipleship training school was an outdoor industry focused DTS. And what that means is we went backpacking, we did rock climbing, kayaking, mountain biking, and then we also did like a wilderness advanced first aid, which just essentially teaches you how to help people not die while paramedics get there. But and then we got to go to Nepal and use these things, the things that we love to do. We got to backpack to places where people don't go. We got to go to a village where no one ever heard the name of Jesus or Christianity before, and share with them and spend time with them. So it was an amazing time, and God spoke to us a lot in that time. And so what we're working with YWAM right now, and we're about to head back to Montana after Maddie gets married. So we'll head back up to... Well, yeah, Maddie leaves, we leave. But so we'll head back up to Montana, where we're going to do a discipleship training school, but shorter. So it's geared towards high schoolers, but then also we have a couple college-age students, because they can do the program without having to take, like, a semester off. So it's called Endurance Summer of Adventure. So we'll have 3.5 weeks in Montana and then 3.5 weeks in Taiwan. And kind of what we're heading towards is we want to do, it's called Business as Missions. So you go to another country where it's illegal to share the gospel, or you can only stay with a tourist visa, and you go with a business, and you can stay as long as you have a business and use that to support missionaries in that country, and then also be able to stay in a country long-term legally. So the phrase that God gave us is cultivating discipleship through the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And I want to share a verse before Amanda shares here. This verse really stuck out to us while we were in Montana, and it's Matthew 28, just the end of the chapter. It's Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
And if you notice, it's actually on the board to our left.
Ta-da! But, oh man, I could just look there. So we want to do that. We want to go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. And being able to backpack and do a lot of things we do while backpacking or being in the outdoors in the United States, there's a lot of transferable skills into overseas missions. And so that's what we feel like God has told us to do, is to train people to go to other countries where people don't go, and to do that ourselves. But that doesn't come without difficulties.
Yeah.
So Amanda's going to share just for a second about some of those difficulties.
So God gave us this amazing plan, and we were really excited. We're like, okay, like, we get to live out our passions of the outdoors and actually use it to expand the kingdom. Like, our God is so rad. He gives us these passions, and then he's like, use it for my glory and joy. And in February of this year, I started to have pain in my leg and ended up finding out that I had tendonitis from overuse. We went to physical therapy. It was great. And then about 3 weeks ago, the pain moved from this one location actually up both my legs instead of just one and into my hips. And so it's been this process of going back to the Lord and saying, Lord, you've made us these promises of being leaders in the outdoor industry. I can't physically do the thing that you've called us to do unless you move mightily. And like Andrew's sharing about looking under the hood, this time of physical pain has actually brought up even emotional pain. And the Lord's saying, you know, do you believe that I have your best intentions in mind and that I have the best for you and that my heart actually cares about you far more than anyone else? And so in this middle of physical pain, there's that emotional kind of searching going on where God's opening my heart and he's like, let's look at this and let's talk about this. And what do you think about this? And he's actually doing like a transformation of my mind. You know, he doesn't want just my physical body to be well, but he wants my mind and my spirit to be well. And if I'm being completely honest, it's been a really hard season of like, but God, you said this. And he's like, am I a liar? And I'm like, no, Lord, you're not. Like, your word says that all of your promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And so even in the midst of not seeing the like full fruition of that promise, like still experiencing pain in the moment, trusting that in the future that God is going to fulfill the promises that he's made us and that we will be able to do the physical things that are required of us to do ministry, and realizing that God's greatest motivation towards us isn't, you know, I want you to minister. Yes, he wants that. But his greatest motivation in our lives is that he loves us. And that is the truest thing. So I just want to encourage you guys that if you have promises and you feel like God maybe is leading you through that journey, just trust that there's more going on and that he wants whole restoration for you. Not just one area of your life does he want to touch, but he wants to touch all of your life so that you can be whole and you can go and preach the gospel in wholeness and in health, so that when you're drawing other people into the kingdom, it's a kingdom of healthiness and wholeness.
Let's close in prayer.
Yeah.
Slam dunk.
Yeah.
Scooch.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys. And, you know, just a nod of heads. Did you see and feel in the communities and cultures where you traveled around the world pain and families and with people? Yeah. Not just your own, but you experienced that.
Yeah.
That's why ministry is so needed. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yay.
Okay. Be sure and love on them today. They'll be hanging out. For those of you who've never met them, they were transplants out here. And the island of romance took over. And then they got to romance Jesus. And sure enough, they're called and they're out of here. So they came here, got equipped, and they're out of here. And they're serving him. And they come back, they encourage us, get equipped, and they're out of here. It's kind of cool. We've talked about the varieties of pain, and some of it's very, very deep. Some pain we have inflicted on ourselves. Stupid decisions, stupid choices, so to speak, and we're having to live those out. But there's other levels of pain that we had no doing in. They actually were inflicted on us. And as I talked about last week, I'm very sorry about those things, and some of it we had no control over. But we move through life living in these things, and there are some answers. And sometimes we get that, other times we don't. And so there's this speed of this process of being healed. And what role does God play in it? This is where we've been this week. And today we're talking a little bit more in terms of looking into our past. I did not want to move forward until I fully understood this concept in my own life. I am a pack rat to some degree. Don't you even laugh at me. You are not the one to speak. I pack rat memories. None of it's justifiable. But if my kids gave it to me, I saved it. It's somewhere. You can call them keepsakes, but it's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's everywhere. You even look at my side of the bed. And there's stuff from I don't even know how long, just cards that were written. And I'm just reminded of things. Now, none of that's wrong as far as, you know, what I'm doing is concerned. But when you walk in my house, you definitely can find my area of the house. Up until recently, Maddie came in and was like, you are not going to have this in here with all my stuff coming in. But there is an area in my office, and it's got footballs and soccer balls and letters the team has written and photographs of this. I love alternating some of that, but sometimes I just keep packing it on. It gets thicker and thicker. I'm reminded that I love to surround myself with those things. But the point I've got to make here is these weird, goofy things, even though they mean something to me in my house, I just can't part with them. And many of you have got some of that stuff going on. It represents your life. And a lot of us in here, we walk in, we're looking good on the outside. But when we start digging around in the attics of our heart and the dungeons, the closets, there's a lot of stuff in there. And when we moved, technically speaking, we're losing kids over time here. With four kids, three are just about out of here, and we're down to one. We've had to move some of their stuff. I'd go up in the attic, I'm like, Harrison, what the heck? I'm calling, like, what, you know? He's at school. He's like, no, don't chuck that. I'm like, we're chucking this. He's like, no, don't. I'm like, okay, I won't. But I have to carry his stuff to the next attic and what that looks like. Many of us don't want to face it, though. We don't want to get into those areas of our life and deal with some of that stuff. Examining our past. It's a great picture right there. Examining our past. What are the files that are there? Some of it may be closed. Some of it may be open. The fourth step we're talking about today is to honestly examine these things And then confess it. See, if you just do one and not the other, what's the point? This is where it had to hit home with Pastor Andrew. I did not feel worthy of anything, much less pastoring or parenting or husbanding. None of it. Why? Because there was a lot of confession needed, not just realizing what was going on. I had to agree to evaluate my life and get those faults out to God and to someone I trust. If you haven't been in this series, we're looking at steps that can help us deal with the pain. The first one was get help. The first one is get help, recognize it, simply because if you could have fixed it, you would have fixed it. And a lot of stuff we deal with, we haven't fixed. We mean well, but if we could have done it, we would have, and we haven't. And I admit, I'm powerless and I need help. Great scripture here from the Beatitudes. We're kind of following along here. Jesus said, God blesses those who realize their need for Him. Matthew 5 is loaded. That's the reality step. I'm out of control. I need some help. Second week, called the hope step. Soften your heart. Begin something new and open it up to Him, where you realize that God does exist and that I do matter to Him and that I need Him. Amen? A softened heart. You look for Him. Even in the small steps, there's a heart here. There's a heart there. He's trying to reach us. He's trying to get through to us. Blessed are those who mourn. This is where we break down and we grieve. And we break down and really open up that there's got to be another way. I can't keep plowing around my fields, around this thing in my fields. I've got to remove this and get it straight. Get my field straight. Get my life straight. I realize I need to turn my life over to Christ. I need to depend on Him. And that's where we moved into our third week last week. Flowing with Christ. Letting go and going with His flow. Depending on Him. There are certain things about a river. There are certain things about the Pacific Northwest when the current rolls in and those San Juan Islands. Talking to my son last night, did his first paddle in the San Juan Islands. And that sea kayak with three people in it just swerving around. We have an outrigger team, and it doesn't take long in the afternoon where the wind will be nothing, and then the wind comes up out of nowhere. And if you oversteer, just over-torque a little bit on that paddle, that thing starts committing. That whole outrigger is in a whole other direction very, very quickly. So it's about monitoring things, staying on it, looking very carefully at the goal. Where am I headed? And going with the current, going with the wind, letting the waves work for you, not against you. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Last week we called out the opposite of meek was what? Anyone remember? Pride. Pride keeps us from depending on Christ. It's what keeps people from paying attention right now. It's what keeps people from inviting their friends to church. Keeps you from saying, I don't have any problems. Pride's what keeps you from intimacy with Jesus. Today, step four, get rid of the pride. Now we're ready to examine what's really been going on. Let's look under the hood. Let's be honest about our past and examine. I agree to evaluate my life. And some of you are going, why? Why? Do I want to go back and do all that stuff? And my answer is, it's been part of what shaped you today. It's what you've become today. These things that have been there have given you, really, and molded you for who you are. The experiences are there. There's memories that shame you. And when you examine your past, you open up this window to understand who you are. Getting rid of that or getting healing on those things begins a relationship with Jesus that goes further than you could ever imagine. I mean, all bets are off. People that just say they're constantly going to stumble, they have no idea what they're talking about. When Jesus heals you, when something different happens in your heart that He has produced from the very beginning, the beauty of this is your relationship with Him goes off the charts. And if you don't deal with the past and kind of stuff away, your attic, your dungeon, your closets, it just gets nasty. Ultimately, I guarantee you, it's going to come out. Many of us here are from broken families. And one of the reasons that they're broken is because your parents didn't deal with the past when they were younger. And they just kind of let things go, and they began slowly to deal with some of those pains. And they began to slowly deal with some of those aches. And years later, it destroyed their relationship with you. It's no secret in my family what's happened to me. My father was an only child, and he worked very hard for a hard man. And as a result, he grew up with duty, obligation, and things that must be perfect. Fought in the Korean War, which hopefully will never happen again. And I will never forget, I'm the youngest of three brothers. When I was old enough to realize I had a dad and what he's supposed to be like, he had checked out entirely. Very driven, wanting to answer his own questions of his father and his life. In those unvalidated areas, he ended up checking out, and I ended up not being validated either, seeking more than just affirmation, but validation that only my father or someone in the masculine world can give to a son. Masculinity bestows masculinity. And as a result, whenever I attempted to do something, and let's just say paint this wall right here, Dad would come in, he'd say, "How are you, Tiger? Hey, you missed a spot." And he'd move down the hallway and put his briefcase down. I'd be like, "What? What?" You know, I couldn't seem to catch up. Very painful story. And as a result, I grew up, and all of a sudden, I am very interested in pleasing people. I get a very prominent position working for a large city in a large position, and I want to make sure the city manager's happy, the city mayor's happy, and the council members are good to go, and the general voting public and our taxpayers are happy. And the people that surround our building understand what they're getting for their dollar. And I'm trying to please people. And all of a sudden that plays itself into a calling and into ministry. And conflict annoys me, or I don't seek these areas out where I need to work some details out. And as a result, I want people to like me. Why? Because there's a broken cycle in my past that caught up with me. And I never took time to pay attention to it. And some of the pain that I have, big time serious stuff, is from the happenings and the hurts and the wounds of those years. My father called me this week at 90 years of age and his birthday. He called me to say, "Happy birthday to me." I fully went with it. I said, "Happy birthday to you." We have conversations now that are so fun. But the best conversation for me was when I first got to the island, wanted to generate some revenue for the family, jumped on the zip line, and I was closing it out. And I remember in the evenings, I'd turn my phone on and slip that in my pocket. And I've told some of you this story before. And my dad would literally talk me down the zip line as I'm closing it. We'd just share and talk. And I'd do a 1, 2, 3 count and jump off the zip. And he wouldn't know if I made it to the other end or not. And then he'd be like talking, and I'd say, "I'm still here." I had so much fun chatting with him, and there was this one conversation on platform 4 where I got a chance to share with him some of the things that hurt me. I did it in a very respectful way. I didn't know how it would turn out. It was fairly quiet on the other end of the phone. But that's when I learned of his past. That's where I understood where he was coming from. But most importantly, I heard an apology. It changed my life. This weight came and left me. Some of us here have had that privilege. Others have not. So what I offer to you is your Heavenly Father is just as active. He is wanting to communicate in your walk of life, whatever platform you stand on. And he says these words, "I'm sorry this happened. I'll take that from you. You can forgive. You can walk in forgiveness. You can move forward in your life. And these hurdles that we jump, you don't have to hurdle them anymore. They're gone. Remember what we said a few weeks ago. You are only as sick as your secrets." It's a powerful comment. And as I look at my past, I'm honest with you. And I'm ashamed of some stuff. I'm ashamed of some lies or ashamed of some lusts, and I'm ashamed of some deception, and there's some things I'm not proud of, but it's there. And what I find is when I sit and talk with some of you, and what keeps some people stumbling and what keeps some people from becoming sold out to Jesus, as I talk to these seekers, what keeps us, in most cases, it's guilt. It's guilt. You have guilt over some things in your past. It's like this huge hurdle. You keep trying to jump, and guilt just leads to what? Shame. Yeah, I hate it. And it's like this nasty poison begins to work away at you. And some of us in here were never quiet enough to even reflect on this, or reflective enough. And darn it, we live in one of the most beautiful places to reflect. But we get busy, and we get inundated, and things happen, and kids start growing up, and their issues become our issues. And all of a sudden, where God is trying to be resurrecting stuff in us so that we will work it out. It's not always the enemy that does that. God says, I want my time with you. Let's refine you. Let's transform you by the renewing of your mind. But it happens. And sometimes we go back in our heads, even back to school, or we cheated, or something went wrong. For others, we think back to maybe a certain event in our life, or a series of marriages, or an abortion, or something. Guilt is the killer. It robs us. You hear, fear is a liar. We were singing this morning. Guilt is a liar. Shame is a liar. It comes from the father of lies. And the one thing about these things is it just doesn't always identify itself right away. It's a process. I was reminded of this after I spoke by texting with a conversation last night with someone. It wasn't pretty. It really rocked my world. And I've had to bring some stuff up, and it was not easy to identify for the person. Some things are. I'm a coach, and I remember our football team got on a bus, and we had a chance to eat before the game. We ate at a very Mexican restaurant, and then we all got back on the bus, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh my gosh, who was that? And you got 20 players on the bus. Nobody's going to admit it, but everyone's dying and grabbing the windows and putting them down. And for a lot of us in this dungeon, this, you know, we've got something. It smells really rotten. But how in the world did it become that way? What is the process of that? And it needs to be examined, identified, and confessed. And most importantly, happy are the pure in heart. There's a motive there. You want to get it out because there is a blessing waiting for you. Why would Jesus say happy or healthy or blessed are the pure in heart? Because the pure in heart are, A, look at your notes this morning. Look at them. They take time to recognize your impurity. That forces us to evaluate the past. And B, they do what they can with the impurities. They do the possible. Circle the word possible. Okay? You do the possible. And what does God do? The, you know it. You know it really well, actually. I'm impressed. Do you believe it? The pure in heart do what they can with your impurities. This forces you to learn the truth. And then the pure at heart see, allow God to do the impossible. He moves forward. Really the question? The big question is how? How? People say, can we meet this week? I'm like, what's going on? They say, I need how answers. And when we meet, I'll tell you what, it's not my word. I'm bringing God's word. Amen? It's not what I have to offer. It's what God says. And if I can help you interpret what Scripture is saying, then I will. Otherwise, maybe you've heard it and you refuse to believe it. That's different. Okay? God's word is where we go for the answers. How do I come clean with my past and grow spiritually? Let's look at it. Number one, very important. Start by praying for courage. It starts with prayer. You invite Jesus in to where you're at. You invite the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to work in your heart and into your mind. Some of you are nodding your heads right there with me. You understand right where we're with. This is prayer ministry. If you sit there and go, I'm going to examine my past, or I'm going to talk to someone about everything. Listen, the Holy Spirit has been brought to you to bring those things. Encouragement, yes, but conviction as well. He is the one we go to. And we invite Him into this. And then it takes courage to receive it. And sometimes it's hard to hear it. There's so much going on. I like to surround myself with a few friends that I know are prayed up, or they know a lot of my story. And I ask them to listen on my behalf. And they'll sit around me. And we're not trying to be strange or weird, but they sit and we ask God to speak. And they listen on my behalf. I may be so clogged up I can't hear anything. I got to have somebody help me out. It's just like a ball game. Sometimes someone's got to help you up. You fell down. And prayer is that courage that comes your way to say, I'm going to examine this. I'm going to look at this. God's presence during the process. Pray for courage. It takes courage to climb in the attic of your life. It takes courage. And I promise you, this is where I'm going to lose 50% of you in this room right now. I promise you that. Because either you're ready or you're not. Either you have the courage or you don't. And I can talk this way. My team basically was 2 and 12 or whatever it was 2 years ago. We had graduated a lot of seniors, blah, 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 blah. Here come the excuses. But our team was just getting crushed. It was a rough season. They had the courage to say we were going to get up early in the morning. They decided when they were going to practice. They decided the off season was going to become the on season, even though technically it was not. And they decided they wanted more, and they won a league championship in less than a year. As a result of courage, we're going to face some of the same teams that we got spanked against. We're going to face some of the same adversity. We may have no one up in the stands because our record sucked so bad, no one's going to want to come. We may have this and this and this. I don't care. I'm getting up. And I'm going to go all the way up that canyon. And it's cold in the mornings. I'm going to start running. And it worked. It worked. Only a few, but those few got to see something they've never seen before. And it will hang in the gym, the first ever banner for a ladies' soccer team on the island, in the gym, as a result of courage. Pray for the courage to examine God's presence in the process. I'm going to flow with Christ. I'm going to depend on Him. God is with you. Remember His presence. I had a young niece back in the day for her first time to Disney World in Orlando, Florida. We took her on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. As soon as we walked in the door, she freaked out because it was dark and there were skeletons hanging around. I'm like, oh, brother. So my brother, her dad, grabs her and basically just smushes her head into his shoulder for almost the entire ride. She like pokes her head out once. And so I've got the video camera rolling. We're on the escalator as the ride's over. And I'm like, so what'd you think? She's like, it was great. I saw Jesus. Jesus helps us, she said. She saw one pirate with a beard, thought it was Jesus. Had no idea of all the flames and the guns and the guys boozing up and pigs. She had no idea. But guess what? She said, I want to do this again. By definition, she never done it the first time. She didn't even open her eyes. At all. I have that on video. A lot of us in here were like, my life is fine. Hobbs, talk about Memorial Day stuff. Come on, family. I'm fine. Wrong. You never opened your eyes. Didn't see what's there. Let's do it again. Be real. God's presence is like a flashlight. It comes in. Great verse. Joshua, be strong, courageous. Circle courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you took step 3 last week, guess what? You handed the steering wheel over to Him. I'm done. Would you just get me down this river? And by the way, take care of my kids. Starts with you. Here's the steering wheel of my life. And God says, guess what? As a result of what you've done, I'm going to bless the generation underneath you. Your courage is going to set right on course those that follow in your path, my son. Pray for courage and remember God is present. Number two, put it in writing. Dad taught me that one. Put it in writing. Get it in writing. Who's heard that before? Who's heard that before? Every one of you have heard that before. Get it in writing. You never know. They may change their mind again. Get it in writing, Hobbs. Oh, brother. I want to encourage you to do this. And like I said before, this is where I lose the other half of you. Journal this stuff. Write it. Put it down. If you're afraid somebody's going to read it, tear it up afterwards. Burn it. It doesn't sound right, does it? But wait a minute here. Why write it down if I'm going to destroy it? Here's why. Because you won't become specific till you write it down. There's something about writing things down and journaling where the details come out. Amen? Some people, they artistically draw. I've seen it. They will draw their situations and what's going on. It's their way of interpreting things, and you're settling your spirit, and things are coming to the surface again. Journal those things. Don't just close your eyes.
Jesus helps us.
You know? No. Write it down. This. The easy part, some of us, is what I feel guilty about. Some things to write down. Look at your notes. These are here. Very helpful. You can list them. It's easy to do that part. What do I feel guilty about? But here's the tough one. How has it hurt me? These are very important notes. And by the way, all this counseling is free. All of it. Just open the Word of God. It's there. But I'm interpreting things for you in a very simple way. How has it hurt me? These things I feel guilty about have hurt me. That's a little tougher. It gets even tougher when you have to say, what is my part in that? Yeah, now it's getting a little sticky. What did I have to do with it? The next one. Who do I resent? I just lost the rest of you. Oh, yeah, resentment is a killer. Oh, great. Some of us could have very long lists. Some immediately say, parents! Why did they get a divorce? It's all their fault. That's a normal thing. That's okay. Who do you resent? Be honest. That's the point. Honestly, exam. Be honest. How does it hurt me? What was my part? Then write down, what are my fears? Remember, they're a liar. That's the song. That's what it says. But what are they? Be honest. Do you have a fear about being rejected? Of course you do. Write it down. Why? How does that affect the way you live your life? What's your part in that? Proverbs 20. Let's go to Scripture real quick. Look at it. The Lord's searchlight penetrates the human heart, exposing every hidden move. Amen? I didn't get very many on that one. Amen. I don't blame you for not opening your mouth. Searchlight. Great. It penetrates. It's deep. Would you let God be part of the process? Put it in writing. It's tough. But when I've done this in my personal life several times, it's a step towards healing. It's a step towards getting away from the pain, and it makes a great sermon. Sort of. Painful, but great sermon. Number three, take time to learn. Especially from the third category. What am I responsible for? Take responsibility for your faults. Psalms is a great prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me in all my mind and see if there's anything there that offends you. Anything wicked, anything that would lead me to a path of everlasting life. Search me. Leave it at the cross. Everlasting life is waiting. When I wrote this down, I remembered some really bad decisions. That's the one crummy thing about putting a sermon together. You listen for what God has to say, and you see indicators of how things are going, and throughout the week, you're asking God to move in your thoughts, and then you look for Him. And sometimes it's look within. I consciously chose to hurt certain people. And I knew that what I said was going to hurt them. I said it anyway. I stepped across the line of what I knew was right. And I verbally or emotionally abused that person. Maybe it was my own kid. I was more concerned, possibly. Maybe this is you, about getting money. And not concerned with who I was stealing it from. Whatever you take responsibility for, do it. This is some of my list. It's not a pretty list. As a matter of fact, it's kind of nasty. And the longer you do and waiting to fix this and do this, the uglier the list gets and the longer it gets. And then I'm not suggesting that you make this list and pass it around at work or school, okay, or silkscreen this onto a T-shirt. Don't do that. You're not going to want people to see this list. But if you're honest, you're going to find something that's a little nasty. That's okay. It leads to healing. Amen. Yeah. Four is critical. And this is the fun part. That's why I threw it at the cross. Because I'm going to ask for forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness. God forgives instantly, freely, completely. Instantly, freely, completely. Can you remember those three? Let's say them together. Instantly, freely, completely. Woo! Solid adverbs on a Sunday morning. Some of you say, why do I have to ask God for forgiveness? He already knows. Because there's power in saying it. You might know somebody who stole 10 bucks from you, but it becomes powerful when they come up to you and say, will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Took your money. Like a company did this week to me. It was supposed to fish my dishwasher. I forgave them. They didn't ask, but I did. Psalm says this. There was a time when I wouldn't admit a sinner that I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable, filled my days with frustration. All day and night, your hand was heavy on me. Oh, here we go. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess all of this to the Lord. You forgave me. The guilt is gone. If you're dying in a pile of guilt, confess it to God. Translation. Maybe one of the reasons you still feel a little bit guilty is you haven't identified some of those things. Write them down. Confess them. Some of us come up, there are people every Sunday come up and go, dude, did you have like a video camera in my house? Or did you talk to my neighbor last week? I mean, that one went like right here, Pastor. I'm like, no, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. You may want to pay attention to him. He's speaking. Get out of the way. Get the pride out of the way. Get all that stuff out of the way. Listen for what he's talking to you. Listen for what he's trying to say to your heart. That's not Pastor talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's his job. That's God trying to get your attention. If you're feeling guilt, that's not from God. It's not. The guilt is from the devil. He's lost you for eternity. If you're a Christian, the devil has lost you. And as a result, he turns around and he wants to make you ineffective. And he uses, what a loser you are. You have nothing to offer anyone. You have nothing to offer your own kid. Look at your own failures. That is the liar, and he is the loser. Remember how bad you are. Yeah, right. That type thing. That's where he's bringing it. He wants to keep you ineffective. It keeps you as a stumbler. It keeps you from telling anybody in your life about Christ. In fact, when it's brought up, all of a sudden you start professionally backtracking. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'd go to that service, you know, whatever. But anyway, what were you doing last week? You know, it's amazing how we make our pain look cool. And yet, we carry this thing around, and when everybody's gone, there we are with it. Everybody's gone. All the entertainment that could have happened has happened, and now you're carrying all this stuff. If you've already asked God for forgiveness, accept it. My favorite thing, and I finish with this. You all are wonderful. Very painful stuff to talk about, but talk it out with a trusted friend. It's my favorite part, but it's tricky. And if you're listening this morning, the key word is trusted. This one will bite you in the butt. If it's not a trusted friend, the Bible says, iron sharpens iron kind of friend. Those of you who've been here for a while, you know we try to help you get some good things going in your life. And darn it, if the number one thing people say to me is, I just don't feel this happening to me. And the first thing I want to say is, why have you dropped out? You need to be hanging out with a small group. And out of that small group, maybe there is someone there waiting for you with a story either like you or a story that involves you or a story that needs your story. And guess what? A trusted friend comes out of nowhere. But it ain't going to happen if you don't have a small group. It ain't going to happen if you play Lone Ranger. It's not going to happen if you think, I'll just live in my cove and do life here alone. Lame. God forgives you whether you talk to somebody about it or not. I think I need to say that. God forgives you whether you talk to somebody about it or not. There's power in sharing with another person. I realize a lot of folks in here maybe grew up Catholic or you went to a Catholic church. Why do Catholics talk to a priest? Do they have to talk to a priest to be forgiven? No. But many think they do. There's power in saying it to another human being. And there's power in another person saying, you're forgiven. They don't forgive you. God forgives you. Let me make that clear. It's just one of those healthy steps to talk about it. When you see forgiveness or you hear words from another person, it's powerful. A few weeks ago, with a couple of athletes, I sat back and mediated an argument. And then about 4 days later, I sat back and I mediated something I never saw coming at all. There was a couple people who had something against one another. We'll call them John and Joe. And John looked at Joe and John said, I'm sorry for what I've done in the past. I've hurt you. And I said this stuff. I've thought about it. I got some help. And I'm a different person. And I just want to say, I'm very sorry. Will you forgive me? And I sat there watching this. And I mean, it's just like an E.F. Hutton moment at that point. You're hanging on the silence of what's about to happen. And I was just kind of this go-between. And after John said that, Joe looked him in the eye and said, I forgive you. It's not even an issue, bro. And this adrenaline rush-like stuff came up into me, man. I was like, no freaking way. O-M-G. And I just was like, I'll talk to you guys later. It was magical. The words were spoken. And that is the display of what Christ does for you and me. He looks at our sin. He looks at our past and says, I forgive you. And there's something powerful about hearing it. And when you share that with a trusted friend and they look at you in the eye and say, you know what? I forgive you. You know what? God forgives you. There's power in that. Who do you share it with? Someone you trust. Someone who understands healing. Listen carefully. Someone who is mature enough and won't be shocked. Someone who has a relationship with Jesus. And if you can't find somebody like that, I wouldn't share it with somebody else. I wouldn't open up your closet to somebody who doesn't set back. God will forgive you. God will forgive you. You'll find somebody someday where you can talk about that. Be patient. It'd be my hope you'd find it in one of your small groups, but that doesn't always happen. Just being real. You do got to be cautious. This is a heavy message. And it's not easy, but a crucial one towards healing. If our worship team can come up. Usually our one last thought here is one that I make up. Can't do that today. I can't. I go to Scripture. Isaiah, don't be afraid. Andrew, son, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I really believe that that is what God is saying to you in this step. Don't be afraid. Put your name there. Say your name. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Put your name there. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. Don't be afraid to do this. Don't be afraid to honestly examine your past. I'm with you. I will strengthen you. Put your name there. Andrew, I'm going to strengthen you. Andrew, I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my victorious right hand. That's a one last thought that will change your life forever. And somebody else's as a result. Let's pray. Father, as I come to you this morning, a beaten man, I celebrate victory because of what you did for me and taking my junk all the way out of my life and out of your remembrance. I serve a risen Savior. I serve one who ascended to his Father and is sitting there and not in condemnation, but love, and looking at me saying, "My son, you can do this. Let's go back. I'm with you. You got this. I'm your God. I have been with you, and you can let it go, Andrew. Let it go. And as I have asked you to father me over and over again, I bring this congregation to the throne of the same Savior, the same God of the universe. And I ask you, for those that choose to have courage this morning, to call out on you, that you will father them the exact same way and in the same places they need to go. And they're willing to learn. They're willing to have courage. They're willing to do something about it. See, this Memorial Day weekend, I celebrate something that goes far beyond you and I. It's beyond my understanding. How in the world could a God give up his son? And how in the world could he give his life for so many? And actually, I don't get it. I just have to believe it. Because without this faith, none of this works. And I don't see the results, and neither does the generation underneath me. Bless the faith of those who come before you this morning. And Father, they make a decision for you. Some may need to start there. I need a Savior. That's where I go. I need a relationship. I need to start one. And God, I ask that you meet them there, in that place. So more than just baggage comes, but their heart. And it becomes wild. It becomes whole. It becomes healthy. And they begin something new in their life. And as a result, other lives around them change as well. We give this to you this morning. There's such a tall order. But you can handle it. That's what you've said. I am your God. So we leave it with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.